Worry is a rejection of faith. And the rejection of faith turns godly Christians into practicing atheists. No wonder the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. You see, we cannot worry and trust God at the same time. Can't be done.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Well, hi there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Thank you for listening today. Today, we're going to talk about the subject called When Worry Becomes Dangerous. And yes, it can. Worry can become a dangerous thing. Let me ask you this. Do you have a PhD in worry? Do you worry more than you should? Medical science confirms that worry is a serious contributing factor in the development of many, many major illnesses. Somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, and you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry cannot change the past, but it can ruin the present. We have a way out of worrying. We can take our problems and cares to the Lord in prayer. A problem not worth praying about is not worth worrying about. Worry means that there is something we cannot control, and if we are honest, it is something that causes us to feel irritated with God. Jesus Christ made the most profound statements about worry that the world has ever heard. He said, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." That's found in Matthew chapter 6. 5 times in this short passage of Scripture, Jesus tells us, don't worry. It's not a suggestion. It's not a hint. Dear one, it's a command. Have you ever noticed how worry tends to increase commensurately with the tension and pressure points in our lives? Worry often comes at a time of crisis, doesn't it? Just when you need a clear mind and steady nerves to make the wisest decision possible, boom, here comes worry. Like a dark cloud that obstructs the warmth and the light of the sun. Worry drains you of your ability to think creatively and can cause many other problems. Worry fills the face with wrinkles and apprehension. It robs the body of rest at night and sends you to work shattered and shaky and second rate, living on the ragged edge of life. Worry is the mother of cancer and heart disease, high blood pressure, ulcers, migraines, and a host of other diseases. Worry has sent millions of Bible-believing Christians to the cemetery long before their appointed time. men and women who knew the Prince of Peace. Worry is fear rather than faith. Worry is a predisposition toward defeat and despair. One old man said, "Most of the troubles I've worried about in life never happened." So never worry about the things you can't change. I love the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, and he captures this thought in his prayer. He said, "Lord, grant me the courage to change the things I can, grace to bear what I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference." Don't worry about the things you can change. Just change them. Have you ever laid in bed, shivering on a cold night with a blanket just 6 feet away? You didn't want to get up. You didn't want to move to get the blanket. It was less work to lie there and worry about being cold throughout the night, wasn't it? The solution to worry is to do something about it. Or tell your spouse to get up and get the blanket. Don't worry about your enemies. For King David has written, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." That's Psalm 27, verses 2 and 3. Don't worry about your fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Praise God. Don't worry when you feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." King David said this. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." If you woke up this morning and didn't find your name in the obituary column, rejoice. Let me give you three reasons not to worry. Very quickly. First of all, God is your Father, and He has the power to give you everything you need. As a matter of fact, God took care of every need you ever had long before you knew you had a need. Before you were hungry, He gave the ground the ability to grow food. Before you were cold, He provided wool, wood, and coal to help warm us. Before you were ever thirsty, He provided water for the nations of the world to drink. Another reason not to worry is that worry produces absolutely nothing. Jesus said, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" The Greek word for stature is elekia, which means a span of life. So in other words, which of you can lengthen your life by worrying? You can't. So why worry? We take vitamins, we read diet books, we jog in the rain, we join health clubs as we try to lengthen our lives. While a healthy lifestyle is part of good stewardship, taking proper care of the bodies God has given us, our lives are in the Lord's hands. Let me tell you, the best pill, as one preacher put it, the best pill is the gospel. Jesus is the great physician and the master architect of the body, so you can trust the owner's manual that He has given us. That's the Bible. And that manual states, this machine is not designed to worry, since the manufacturer has already taken care of every need you will ever have. That's better than a life insurance program, dear one. That's a life assurance program. Amen? Now, the third reason not to worry. Somebody said this, worry is a rat. Let me explain that. I read the story of an aviator who flew around the world. He stopped every few hours at selected landing fields to refuel. On one leg of his journey, 2 hours from his selected landing field and exactly halfway from his destination, he heard a noise in his plane that he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. Oh, Lord! Not knowing which delicate indicators might be destroyed by the sharp teeth of the rat, the pilot began to worry. Oh, he worried. And then he remembered that rats are rodents and that they do not function well at heights. A rat is made to live on the ground and in dark holes. Consequently, this pilot pointed his plane higher and higher and higher into the sky until the gnawing stopped. And 2 hours later, when he landed safely, a dead rat fell out of the cockpit. Oh, I know some of you are cringing right now at that picture. But dear ones, the way to kill off your worries is to take your life up a notch. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep pressing onward and upward, trusting Him as you go higher and higher, as you focus on Christ. Those rats that are trying to eat away at your peace and security will drop off one by one. Your worries will not survive. And as we close, let me just say this. I'm going to get real here. Worry is a rejection of faith. And the rejection of faith turns godly Christians into practicing atheists. No wonder the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. You see, we cannot worry and trust God at the same time. Can't be done. So, yes, worry is a rat that cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere of faith and confidence. If your life's course has been altered by worry, then, dear one, climb. Climb higher into the presence of the living God. Feel His peace and His reassuring touch. And experience His love and the joy of His presence. Worry must die in this divine atmosphere. Praise God. Father God, I thank You. I thank You for those who are listening today. Men, women, young people, children. And I pray, Father God, that this message has touched hearts and lives at a soul deep level, and that people would relinquish their worries to You, as You say to do in Your word, to cast all our cares upon You, Lord Jesus, to cast all our cares upon our Father God, for He cares for us. And so, Father, I pray that You would lift those burdens and cares from off of people's shoulders and instead, fill them with Your Holy Spirit and Your peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of their personal storms right now. Guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God, everybody. Thank you for listening today. I just want to tell you that I'm writing a brand new book, my 11th book, And it should be out within the next couple of months here in 2021. I'm not going to divulge the subject matter or the title just yet. I want to keep that a surprise, but I think you're going to love it. I really believe that, because it's on a subject that everyone struggles with at some point in their lives. So anyway, please do pick up my two latest books that came out during 2020. The first one was called Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. Then the another book that came out later in 2020 that I wrote is called Pertaining to Life and Godliness. You can find all 10 of my books on Amazon.com or at our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Pastors, if you're listening, I would ask you to please pray about having me to come and to minister in your church, to speak to your congregation, your community. I faithfully endeavor to preach the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've seen lots of people over these last 11 years get saved, giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. We've seen others healed in their bodies. We've seen others baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've seen others delivered from alcoholism, from drug abuse, from pornography. I'm not tooting my own horn here. No, no, no. I'm bragging on my Jesus. The Holy Spirit moves powerfully in our meetings. So, Pastor, go to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and click on the testimonials page. That's where other pastors share their experiences of having me to come and minister in their churches and communities. And I'd love to serve you, Pastor. I'll become a friend to you, a prayer partner, and a confidant, if you're comfortable with that. And I will lift up Jesus, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Thank you for listening, everybody. Praise God. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. And I pray that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may He always have a smiling countenance toward you, and may He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may He grant you great favor all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast is a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.